Well, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
And welcome to another service here from Unity Center of Light, from our home to your home. It's always our pleasure to bring this to you. And I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we always want to remind you to join us in Zoom right after this service. And if you're wondering where the Zoom link is, you can find it in your e-newsletter or in your weekly update. So please do join us and have some fellowship and discussion about the lesson and just some time to see your Unity family. So we are going to get started right now with Pamela.
Okay, thank you. Good morning and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement together. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. And now we'll have the daily word for Sunday, September the 12th. The key word is guidance, and the affirmation is, I open my mind and heart to receive my guidance. Sometimes I have insisted on figuring things out for myself rather than asking for anyone's help. Over the years, I have learned the value of asking for guidance and sharing what I've learned when others ask me. As we exchange ideas, we may tap into a higher wisdom that had not been apparent to either of us alone. This higher wisdom is not outside of myself. It is a still, small voice, mine to call upon at any time. I am always able to ask for guidance to show me the way forward. I access my inner guidance by opening my mind and heart in prayer. Then I watch and listen, remembering that divine guidance may come in a familiar way or perhaps in an unexpected way that will surprise and delight me. The scripture reading is taken from Isaiah 55:9, and it reads, For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Amen. Now we'll have the message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So we are on another journey today, looking at another part of this whole idea of moving towards awakening to a greater aspect of who we really are, not so much from an intellectual standpoint, but from a spiritual standpoint. Even though today's lesson is going to probably be a mixture of intellectual and explanatory, hopefully we'll be able to get a better understanding of this idea of what is truth. So today's lesson is called, There is a Greater Truth in Me, or There is a Greater Truth in You. And the idea of truth is always a challenging subject because it requires a clear, understandable answer to the question, what is truth, right? And that's always a challenge to understand what that really is. Now, if you saw the movie Enemy Mine with Lou Gossett playing the part of an alien, this was an old, old movie, and there was a discussion between the alien and the human about this question, what is truth, okay? Because the alien had a necklace around his neck, and he had a symbol on it. And the human, asked him, what does that mean? And he said, it's truth. And so, when he asked the alien, well, what do you think truth is? The alien said, truth is truth, right? And, I don't know how many of you remember W. Clement Stone. He said something similar. He said, truth will always be truth, regardless of lack of understanding, disbelief, or ignorance. So no matter what you say about truth or think about truth, absolute truth will always be truth. And again, there's nothing glamorous or profound about the answer to the question, what is truth? It basically just explaining that truth in and of itself is the answer to the question, right? But still, we're left baffled and unsure of what this really means to us, to our individual lives. That's the most important thing. As we're learning these spiritual principles, we're always wondering, how does this impact my individual life? And it's especially daunting to try to understand what is meant by the title of this lesson, There's a Greater Truth in Me. Okay? And even with all our years of study, we still may find the need to ask, what is this greater truth that's in me? Yes, we can say it's the Christ self, it's a spiritual self, and so forth, but do we really understand what that means? And if this is so, you know, that we have this greater truth in us, the question is, how do I access truth and use it in my life, okay? And that's the real question. So, you know, it's recorded in John 8, 31, 32, that Jesus explained to those who were listening to him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But again, what does it mean to know the truth, and how will it set me free? Okay, that's always the sort of intellectual approach or ego approach that we have to trying to understand how do I use these divine principles in my life. And again, this idea, you know, we might say, well, then set me free of what? Okay, that might be our next question. So let's see if we can make some sense of these questions. What is truth and how will it set me free? So in her book, Science and Health with Keys to the Scriptures, Mary Baker Eddy frequently uses truth as another way of expressing the names for God. Now, let me just say it again. She frequently used truth as another way of expressing the names for God, which are, as she saw them, life, love, principle, soul, mind, spirit. So for her, these are synonyms for God. And even though she is the founder of the Christian Science Church, using these divine ideas for God resonates with our own unity understanding of truth as God, and as God as truth, and as truth as being God. Okay, so those are like interactive terms. So knowing the truth then would be knowing God to some degree. Okay, from the perspective of these divine ideas, in other words, life, love, principle, soul, mind, and spirit. And we could add wisdom, power, strength, understanding, divine substance, okay, which is a spiritual essence out of which everything is made. Okay, so all those ideas are synonyms for God, but they're also synonyms for truth. Okay, but even with these names for God, we may still not really understand the concept of truth, because it is possible that the best way to gain an evolving understanding of truth is not just through words that entertain our intellect, okay? Where the understanding of truth really begins to unfold is through the daily study, practice, and prayer and use of these divine concepts in our everyday lives, okay? So I'm saying that as you are using these ideas in your life, and we're going to talk more about, you know, how to do that, but as you're using these ideas, the concept of truth begins to unfold inside of you, okay? So a quote to contemplate as we pursue this journey to a greater understanding of truth is from Kapil Gupta. He said, you begin to learn the truth about life when you no longer are surprised about anything. Okay, let me say that again. You begin to learn the truth about life when you are no longer surprised about anything, okay? So, meaning through daily study, practice, prayer, you reach a consciousness, a state of mind, a state of being in which life no longer catches you off guard, okay? And so that's sort of the concept that we're moving towards when you say, well, how does this apply to my life? All right, you get to a point where it's sort of like the idea we talked about being prayed up, okay? So by working with these principles on a daily basis, you are getting prayed up. Not prayed up in the sense of, you know, we have to sit in a quiet place and pray. It's the practice of the process in which you are actually praying. It's sort of like practical prayer, okay? You are practicing the principles in a prayerful consciousness in your life, and that begins to unfold an awareness in you of what truth really is. And you get to this point where life no longer catches you off guard, okay? And that's the purpose of the scripture in Matthew 26:41, where it says, watch and pray that you do not fall into temptation. Okay, watch and pray that you do not fall into temptation. So Watch and pray is you're being conscious moment by moment of how you are showing up in the world, okay? And this requires a constant process of staying awake and aware of what you're thinking, feeling, and doing. Now, the whole scripture, as you all know, is keep watch and pray so that you do not fall into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. All right, so life is always presenting us with opportunities to determine, you know, if we are coming from spirit, you know, like a state of being awake, or coming from weakness, a state of forgetting the greater truth within us. So to illustrate this, I want to share a scene I witnessed early this week while standing in FedEx waiting to be served, okay? And this may give some real-life clarity to this scripture. So I was in FedEx, and a woman came in to pick up a package that she was just told by telephone. She had just talked to FedEx, and they told her that it was at this location waiting for her to pick it up. Now, you could tell that she felt confident and assured that the package was there. So when she was told by the FedEx worker who looked for the package that it wasn't there, she went into a rage, legitimately so, because she was a healthcare worker, and she said the package contained something that was needed for a patient who was already prepped and ready in the OR of her facility, okay? And they had overnighted this, whatever the item was, because this patient needed it the next morning. Well, after a lot of frustrated discussion, she demanded to see the manager who promptly came out. And the manager did locate, you know, got on the phone and located, you know, where this urgently needed package was, but it was not at the FedEx location, but had been put on a delivery truck, okay? So it was out wandering around somewhere, and, you know, she needed it right now. Well, this caused the woman to elevate her rage, lambasting the people who were trying to help and the whole FedEx organization. Now, to shorten the story, the woman was white and the two FedEx workers were black. And in my mind, I felt I was witnessing the cultural mannerisms and dynamics that caused tension between the races. But then something miraculous happened. It was as if the woman suddenly became aware of herself and the way in which she was expressing her frustration. It was as if, in the midst of her rage, she became conscious of the derogatory and accusatory energy in her speech and in her actions. And even though her need for the package was critical, was legitimate, she really needed this package, I saw her stop herself and regroup. And I could see in her face and in her demeanor that she was taking a moment to pull back all the negative energy that she had put out. And she actually looked like she was taking a moment to be still as she converted her energy from condemnation and frustration to compassion and understanding. And she then gave a sincere apology to both of the FedEx workers. And it was more than just, oh, I'm sorry. She shared that she should not have treated them in a manner other than the professionalism, other than the professionals that they were, okay? And then, and that she understood that what had occurred was not their doing. And would they please accept her apology for the way she behaved? It was miraculous to watch this. And it was important to note that during this time, the two FedEx workers remained calm and professional. They understood her frustration, you know, and they were trying to help her work through it. They accepted her apology and acknowledged that they understood, you know, why she was feeling that way. And then from this new starting point, they all calmly worked out the best solution that they could. Okay. And it was incredible to watch, and you know, and a great teaching moment for me from the perspective that if we truly want to understand how truth works, we have to be willing to work it, to understand it, and be awake enough to know it, you know, it is possible in every situation in our lives. Truth empowers us to be able to discern between what's true and what's false. And to be specific, fear is false, and only love is true. And if you are wondering, you know, how do I get there? You know, how do I get to where I'm always coming from love? Well, as the scripture explains, we must watch and pray so that we do not fall into temptation, because the ego is weak. But the greater truth in me, the greater truth in us, the Christ, is strong. Okay? And we have to decide which do we want to be greater in us, fear or love. Let me say it again. We each have to decide what do we want to be greater in us, fear or love. Okay? Now, right now, the world is struggling to know what is truly the truth. We in this country are struggling to know the truth at all levels, religiously, politically, socially, in all of its many variations, okay? And we're in the throes of trying to manage what seems like an unmanageable pandemic, and the only truth we can hold on to right now in terms of the pandemic is science, okay? It's not the same as holding on to the truth of the Christ in me, but it works in conjunction with that concept. Does that make sense? Because remember, in Unity Metaphysics, you know, we're studying cosmology, theology, psychology, science, and mysticism. Okay? So in terms of many of the things that are happening in our lives, we have to work with both. And that's why Jesus said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar, give unto God what is God. So give unto Caesar, in this case, we're saying science is what seems to be working against this pandemic. We also have to give unto God, which is to have the faith to know that we are always being protected. But even this has created the great, you know, this pandemic, this thing we're going through, has created a great divide between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated, between those who want to support the well-being of the collective and those who have a different perspective, okay? The quandary is that there are factions of consciousness, each claiming that what they believe to be true is in fact the truth. Right? When you watch on news and whatnot, different groups speaking about what they believe, they truly believe that. Okay? And therein lies the problem, that being trying to comprehend what is fact and what is truth. But as the saying goes, we all know, what we believe to be true may be a fact, but is not necessarily the truth. So it probably can be said that what is really dividing us on so many levels are facts that we each believe to be the truth. Okay? And this discussion is not about judging what we each believe to be true. Let me just state it again. This whole discussion is not about judging what we each believe to be true, because in our individual and collective minds and hearts, what we believe to be the truth is our truth. At least it is our personal truth, even though it may have no credibility in the grand scheme of things, or like I like to say, in the grand scheme of the cosmos. Okay. So science, Christian Science Monitor. I read it and I got a lot of the information from this talk from that website, Christian Science Monitor. It says what we need is truth we can trust. Right? But when the noise of personal beliefs and opinions is so overwhelming and so loud, we may find ourselves echoing, and I like this, John Lennon's lyrics from his 1971 song, All I Want Is the Truth, Just Give Me Some Truth. Okay? Some of you, I know April probably knows that song really well, but some of you probably know that song. And yet, one person's or group's truth can be exactly the opposite of what another claims as truth. So how do we know what is actually true? Is truth relative? Or is there such a thing as absolute, pure truth, independent of beliefs, perceptions, and opinions? And when we're faced with confusion and possible deceit, it can be hard to know what truth is. Okay? But again, when we can understand and embrace God's nature as infallible truth itself, it empowers us to discern between what is true and what is false. Okay? Now, again, Mary Baker Eddy, you know, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science, was keenly engaged in humanity's search for absolute truth. And referring to the question, Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? So referring to that question that the Roman put to Jesus, this is what she wrote. She said, the question, what is truth, convulses the world. Many are ready to meet this inquiry. Thank you. With the assurance, which comes from understanding, but more are blinded by their old illusions and try to give it pause. So if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. And I like what she said about it. The question itself gives us pause, trying to understand. So if somebody stopped you on the street and said, what is truth? That would give you pause. You're like, and you would try to come up the best way we could to explain it. Okay. So let's look at the definition of truth from the revealing word in an effort to gain a better understanding of God's nature as being the infallible truth. Okay. And let me just bring that up for you. So truth, the absolute, that which accords with God as divine principle, that which is, has been, ever will be, that which eternally is. So the truth of God is reality. Why? Because it's the same yesterday and today and yes, forever. The verities of being are eternal and have always existed. Truth abides in fullness at the very core of our being. And as our awareness expands, we touch the everlasting truth, which seems new. When we hit that everlasting truth, what seems new is but the unveiling of that which always has been. So the basic principle of truth is that the mind of each individual may be consciously united with the divine mind through the indwelling Christ. By affirming at oneness with God mind, we eventually realize the perfect mind which was in Christ Jesus. Okay. Now, that was a lot, and we're going to go over different parts of that. But that word verities is important here because it has to do with the quality or state of being true or real. It refers to a true principle or belief, especially one of fundamental importance, as in the saying, God is good all the time, okay? So when you talk about this idea of fundamental importance of absoluteness, we have this saying that we say all the time, all of us say, God is good all the time, okay? That is one of the verities of God. And this truth that God is good all the time is eternal. So there is never a time that God is not being God, that God is not being good, right? Now we're starting to get into the essence of what is truth, that which eternally is, okay? And this is, in essence, the truth that is that God, we think about God, God just is. Let me say it again. When we think about God, yes, we can put all these different ideas, God is love and God is faith and God is and so forth. But really the answer is God just is, just as truth just is, love just is. Faith just is, okay? And we could go on and on with these statements of principle. So when we say God just is, truth just is, love just is, those are statements of principle. Principle being fundamental truth in a universal sense, okay? So the revealing word says truth or divine principle is the underlying plan through which God moves in expressing itself, okay? So truth is a divine principle, which is the underlying plan through which God moves God's self. So when you say love just is, God is in that love. God is that love, okay? Moving through and expressing God's self. When we say faith is truth, any of those things that we use, we're actually using that terminology to talk about the absolute truth, which is God, who moves God's self and expresses God's self in our lives. So if you're looking for the greater truth within yourself and you are having difficulty finding God in you as you, then look for love. Look for wisdom. Look for power and strength. Look for divine guidance. Okay? Look for whatever divine aspect of God you need to invoke God into the situations in your life. Okay? And when you do that, when you invoke God into the situations in your life through a word that you can relate to, like love or power or joy or courage or any of those, when you use that to invoke that truth and that activity in your life, then you are invoking truth. Okay? And in the definition of truth, it explains, as our awareness expands, the one which is what we just read from the revealing word, as our awareness expands, we touch the everlasting truth. Okay? Now, the woman in the FedEx place could very well have not been conscious of invoking God, you know, into that situation. All right? But whenever we pull back our ego's need to express itself and become still, we are, in essence, invoking God into the situations in our lives. All right? So what I was witnessing, again, I don't know her background, but I was witnessing her pulling back the negative energy she was putting out and settling for a moment so that she could then come back with some compassion and understanding. She was, in essence, invoking God into that situation. And so, again, from a practical standpoint, just for us, the same idea. If you find yourself wrapped up in some situation, you just do what we always say. Become still. Pull back that negative energy. Settle for a moment so you can turn it into some compassion and understanding. Okay? So to invoke means to appeal to a higher authority for an action. So silence, stillness, affirmative prayer invokes the power and presence of God into your life and affairs. And that is how you prove truth to yourself. Okay? That is how you discover that there is truth within you that is far greater than anything that exists outside of you. You discover it simply by practicing it, okay? So by practicing these ideas, you discover and you prove to yourself that truth does truly exist in you. So paraphrasing from the revealing word, okay, says when we know God and worship God in spirit and truth, we begin to recognize God as the great goodness in our lives. And God becomes personal to us when we recognize God within us as our indwelling life, intelligence, love, and power. Now, when we identify ourselves with God as our indwelling Father, God seems to us to be personal. However, it is not in a personal sense, but in the universal identification of ourselves with God that we come into God consciousness. So the personal is limited. The universal, or God consciousness, is unlimited. Okay. So, yes, we've talked about, you know, having a personal relationship with God. That's sort of kind of a natural part of our way of moving through this spiritual process. But what this is thing from the revealing word is explaining is that whereas a personal relationship is good, a universal relationship is greater. A personal relationship is limited. A universal relationship is unlimited. A personal relationship has a tendency to keep our relationship with God within the boundaries of our perception. Okay, so if you're trying to understand what's the difference between personal and universal, so personal is almost like you have this personal relationship with God, but it's like you know God can work in your life in the ways that you know God can work in your life, right? So it's like you're working with this personal relationship in the boundaries of what you know to be possible. But a universal relationship expands our consciousness into the unlimited possibilities of God that are way beyond our present awareness. Okay, so you get the difference. Nothing wrong with a personal relationship, but you're boxing God in to what you think and know can be possible. Universal is now you're believing with God all things are possible. So when you use that word, with God, all things are possible, then what you're doing is you're having a universal connection with God. And yes, you know, as Jesus said to the disciples in Luke 9:55, he said to them, and he was a little irritated when he said this, he says, right now, you have no idea what manner of spirit you are. Okay? Which is emphasizing the title, there is a greater truth in me. Okay? So the bulk of our understanding about the greater truth in each of us does lie in our own personal belief and understanding about God, okay? If we have we are fuzzy about who and what God is in our lives, we'll be fuzzy about this notion that there is a truth within me that is far greater than anything exists outside of me, okay? We'll have trouble accessing what we are not clear about, right? However, even though we may have trouble accessing what we're not clear about, okay, we can act as if and monitor what's happening, okay? So you're not clear, but you act as if. You act as if you are clear, right? And the best way to engage truth within you is to practice it in all the areas of your life that you can, okay? Now, you won't always get it right. You will not always get it right. Again, like the woman in the FedEx story, you know, you'll have moments and situations where you have to catch yourself and take a deep breath and enter into the silence and regroup so that you can invoke God into the situation. And that is how it works for us at the different levels of consciousness we find ourselves, okay? We grow and discover the truth in every encounter when we choose to live life consciously. Now, Ernest Holmes explains this in his book, Discover a Richer Life, okay? And he said, there are no finalities in any science, any philosophy, or any religion. Through the continual emergence of the creative principle, any last finality proves to be but the beginning of a new creative series. This internal spiral finding its base in the everlasting reality will never cease to emerge, okay? So basically saying there's no end to this process, okay? Every time you think I've got it, just say to yourself, I don't really got it, okay? So I know that was a lot. I'm going to end with this affirmation for us to ponder. So take that one back. One more back. Thank you. Okay. So it says, as I discover the greater truth within, I write a more divine story of my life. My new story will be a source of inspiration to me and to the world, creating a light that shines more brightly. So let's do the work that we need to do to become bright lights that will shine brightly in all of our lives. And so it is. Amen. And now we'll have a meditation with Pamela.
So please join me, Unity family, as we prepare to come ye apart a while. Take a deep breath in and exhale out, and then gently close your eyes. Breathe and feel the peace as this quiet moment washes over you. Feel your body begin to relax, grateful for this very moment. Turn your attention inward as you listen within the sanctuary of your soul. From this place of inner stillness, you can hear the sweet whispers of spirit guiding you in all aspects of your life. I now invite you to take the following words as your very own. As I quiet my mind, I become more open and receptive to God's guiding presence. God is pure love and lights my way, revealing new depths of wisdom and understanding that are within me. If worrisome thoughts enter my mind, I can remain peaceful and undisturbed. I take another deep breath and acknowledge the anxious thoughts without believing in them. I let them go and focus inward. I call forward thoughts of peace and begin to trust the still small voice within me. God's essence is whispering, I love you. I know I am safe and guided along life's way. I allow the illuminating presence of God to fill my awareness, to see me through any challenge or difficulty. My inner source of wisdom is constant. I breathe it, believe it, and allow it to flow through me now. Let's take the next few moments into the silence, where you may pray, receive answers to your prayers, and to be still. And at this time also, let us think about all the wonderful souls who took part in helping people during 9/11. As I move back into my day, Spirit gently guides my thoughts and actions. My way is clear and certain. I take a deep and cleansing breath, confident, calm, and centered. And I affirm and know that all is well with my soul. When you are ready, come back to your surroundings and remember that the Unity Center of Light is always here for you. We say thank you in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is, and forever shall be. Amen.
Thank you. That was wonderful. This is the time we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal life to flow into our spiritual home. And we are truly thankful for all the wonderful gifts that you have been sending to support us during this very interesting time. So with that in mind, holding your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit, let's say our offering blessing together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings. As they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. And if you're new to us and you're saying, I wonder how to give, if you just look in the comments down below, you'll see an explanation of all the ways that you can support this center. And again, we thank you in advance. And now we have light notes.
Light notes, okay. Yes. Light notes for Sunday, September the 12th. The Unity Book Club will meet for discussion of the book, The Politics of Love, by Marianne Williamson, today at 1 p.m. The next book they'll be reading is called Stillness is the Key, by Ryan Holiday, and that discussion will be on November the 14th. This year, in October, we are celebrating our church anniversary of 30 years, and we're seeking your help in choosing a virtual way to celebrate this occasion. So let us know by writing them in the chat in the Zoom part of our fellowship, or just let Patty or April know, and we thank you in advance for sharing your ideas with us. A Course in Miracles group will resume on Tuesday, September the 14th at 7 p.m. This is a complete self-study thought system that teaches the way to universal love and peace through forgiveness. Other events coming up, October the 31st, Courageous Conversations with Reverend Michelle Senegal, which will be immediately following the Zoom fellowship segment. Please be sure to check your e-newsletter and your weekly updates for more details.
All right, so
we will now bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto. Together, I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
All right. Let's go right to our prayer for protection. Together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine. And all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. All right, so it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. We hope you to see you in the Zoom right after this. Otherwise, enjoy this wonderful weather that we're having, and we will see you next week. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.